Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. This is Joe Trainer, your host, on this fourth Monday of Advent. Coming off of that big Birds win yesterday, I got our Super Bowl tickets as our stocking stuffers ready to go, guys. So we'll be good with that. Special program tonight, I have my sons Liam and Dylan. This is actually in the last 3 years, what's this, your third time on here, right?
Third time, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So love spending time with you guys always, but in particular when the focus is around our faith and our spiritual journeys, one that we share intimately as a family. So let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as Liam and Dylan and myself spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, I ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are, third time's a charm, they say. So it's been incredibly fulfilling the first two times. So it's probably been coming up on a year since you guys were on the last time, I think.
Yeah, probably about a year.
Is that right? Awesome. So finishing up a great football season at the University of Delaware, out at South Dakota State 2 weeks ago. But I always, this program is evolved, you know, through the work of the Holy Spirit, but really in its formation was a program of sport and spirituality when both of those two worlds meet. And I've had a number of people that have either coaches or athletes or referees or people that have been involved in athletics at a very high level. But I've always shared St. John Paul II's notion that there's no greater platform to bring people closer to Christ than sport. As I've said a number of times on this program, he is regarded as the greatest sportsman in the history of the papacy. He was involved in World Youth Games. He was an incredible, ironically enough, off of yesterday's incredible World Cup finish. He was a very accomplished soccer goalie in his own right as a teenager. He was known as Lolik the goalie in Poland. But was skiing well into his 70s. Was a hiker. Was just the greatest of outdoorsmen. But he believed in his heart that nothing brought people closer to Christ than sport. And Dylan, I would ask you. Let's start with you. How do you, being a Division I football player, and having that platform, how are you able to bring people closer to Christ in your own way?
I think, like you said, we have a really unique platform, and I think that's something we're really blessed to have, because not a lot of people can say that they have the ability to do that. And, this is something that we were talking about within our team a couple weeks ago during our season at our pregame Bible study on Friday nights before the game, and we kind of were brainstorming ways that we could, find a way to honor God through the game the following day. And a lot of it can really just be simple gestures. One thing that we took out was, after a win or a loss, regardless of the outcome, we would have kind of the group of guys that were involved in the ministry side of the program kind of take a knee in the end zone, and we would kind of say a prayer and give thanks to God, regardless, again, of win or loss, that God is always good. And at the end of the day, it is just a game, and, He's good all the time, and – taking that a step further. We're thinking of ways that we could, you know, kind of bring that to light in the public eye. And it was actually really cool because ESPN ended up, you know, catching the shot of us kind of huddled around in the end zone, kind of taking the knee and praying as like the last shot before they closed out the program. And so seeing that was kind of really cool just because, you know, we all knew that was God working in his own way. And, you know, he was able to bring that to light and show a lot of people viewing the game that, you know, we weren't scared to profess our faith and things like that. And we were really trying to bring light to that as much as we could.
That's awesome. Liam, you know, the three of us have had the blessing of being part of Old School Men of Faith. Dylan alluded to it already. Just being involved in communal prayer. Obviously, we get that at church, right? You know, as we come together as the Holy Catholic faith, as we celebrate the miracle of Mass. But you know, you're involved in a Bible study at the University of Delaware with the football program. Talk about the impact that just that sense of community has, you know, on your faith journey, being around like other like-minded people.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, I think we have had a couple guys come to the program in the past couple of years that have really helped, you know, push the faith movement in our program substantially. You know, it's been great. Like you alluded to, we have had, you know, the night before every game, we have a Bible study. It changes up every time, the topic, you know, what scripture we're reading, the message, and so on and so forth. But it really is just, it's so amazing to see how much more powerful it can be when there are numbers gathered in his name. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
It's kind of a different, you know, overall vibe. And not even, in addition to prayer too, obviously prayer is substantially more powerful with numbers, but just, you know, being able to be vulnerable with, you know, some other grown men, football players, you know, that could be a challenge sometimes. And I think that's a good atmosphere, a good space for us to kind of be vulnerable and talk about some topics that aren't easily always to talk about, you know, especially regarding our faith and what we can do, you know, in the future regarding the game next day or our families in the future, our relationships outside of football in the classroom, et cetera. So yeah, it definitely has done us wonders.
That's awesome. Shout out to Liam here, 2 days removed from shoulder surgery. So I appreciate being here with his brother. You know, sailors, you know, I read this just the other day. Sailors, when they're seasick, they don't hide below deck and lay down. They're taught early on that they make their way onto the deck and to focus on the horizon. So you don't let the waves and the high low nature of the waters, you know, you don't want to bring attention to that. So they say it's somehow less upsetting if you take the long view and you keep your focus on the horizon. And when I read that, I thought immediately about faith, right? Because there we are in stormy waters. You know, and I'm often reminded when my prayer is challenged, when my faith is challenged, that, you know, when Peter went out to meet Jesus as he was walking on the water and he got scared, so he started to sink, you know. And I think so often, you know, we let, even if it's not crisis, but we just let our day-to-day problems, you know, we focus on the problems instead of keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. Dylan, you know, being in an environment, you know, in college where there's, you know, we were talking the other day with Kara, like just the uniqueness of some of the challenges being at college, right? Mm-hmm. You have, it's, you know, we're, you know, it's certainly not cool to be faith filled. It's publicly ridiculed, but you know, how hard is it to keep your eyes focused on Christ amid all the challenges of being on a college campus?
Yeah, I would definitely say there's a lot of distractions out there, especially in the day and age that we're in right now, where, you know, Christianity as a whole is ridiculed, especially, you know, in that environment. And, you know, I think it all kind of comes back to what you've instilled in me and Liam from, you know, the time we were young, is that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And I think that, you know, it's important, you know, the day-to-day aspect of it is really important, of, you know, keeping your goals straight and, you know, keeping, like you said, keeping fixed on Christ, that's huge. And I think you also have to realize that temporary distractions are just that. They're always temporary. And, you know, the only real fulfillment that you're going to have is through Christ. And, you know, again, in an environment like college where there's a lot of distractions, you know, there's temporary pleasures. I think a lot of times it's easy to get lost in that. And, you know, that's a slippery slope to go down because it's kind of hard to – it could be hard to get yourself out of that. So I think, you know, just realizing that Christ is the only thing that's going to, you know, fill the hole that's in your heart is that's a super helpful realization, and it has been for me.
Definitely. Liam, I shared that article, that op-ed article in the New York Times, you know, talking about the connection between faith and mental health. The data tells us that teenagers who reported an affiliation with a faith-based church have a lower risk of mental illness. Weekly attendance at church service was associated with higher rates of volunteerism, a sense of mission and purpose, forgiveness, and a lower probability of drug use. Does that surprise you or no?
No.
No.
Those are crazy stats, though.
Yeah, honestly. I know.
When you put it in perspective like that.
Yeah, it's I think I just got done doing a class on social media and mental health. Mm. And, you know, the iPhone was invented in 2007. The smartphone. By 2010, 50% of all teenagers in America had a smartphone.
Hmm.
By 2015, 98% of all teenagers had a smartphone. Black, white, Asian, city, suburban, rural, crossing all demographic, socioeconomic lines. Over 95% of teenagers in America had a smartphone. And in that same period, anxiety, clinical depression, loneliness, suicidal, attempts on suicide are up, or have tripled in that same time period. And, you know, when I think of, I'm not saying there's a causation here. I'm not saying social media causes poor mental health. But I think when I look at social media, and you know, the one thing you learn in life through at least my faith journey is to detach from the worldly, you know, and I think to detach from, you know, that which certainly from a, you know, is money bad? No, but if money is what we're serving, then that's a problem. Is social media bad? No, but if that's what we're serving, then it's a problem because we should be serving our one true God. You know, being in that, like, you know, early adulthood, you know, 20 now, Dylan, how hard has it been for you to not, you know, to moderate your social media use?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been a challenge. I think if you look over the past couple of years, too, with, you know, with COVID happening and everything, and when that whole lockdown period ensued, I think, you know, social media use skyrocketed because that was all really anything anybody had, you know, in our generation. And I think, you know, gone are the days of playing outside and stuff like that, unfortunately. And, I mean, yeah, like you said, like, you know, there's not necessarily a causation there, but there's definitely a correlation. And I think, you know, it's scary because a lot of this generation confuses what they see on social media with reality. And
yeah,
that's just completely not the case. You know, I heard the comparison one time. It's like, don't compare your behind the scenes to somebody's highlight reel.
No,
and
no,
that's all that social media is nowadays. You know, it's like,
it's a highlight reel.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like you always say, it's like nobody's going on Facebook and, you know, posting, oh, just got in a blowout fight with my wife, hope my marriage can survive.
Sure.
This, it's, you know, everybody's only posting all the highlights of their life. And I think subconsciously a lot of people could be doing that, you know, because they see everybody else doing it, and the idea of missing out kind of scares them. And not being able to keep this public image, quote unquote, that they, you know, that they think they have, because, you know, at the end of the day, as somebody that's over 50, you kind of realize nobody was ever really looking at you in the first place. And sure. I think we're consumed with this whole me ideology where it's all about yourself and how many likes and how many comments you get, when in reality, that's just completely irrelevant. And, you know, I think a lot of people kind of look at it like, I mean, like you said, a lot of the mental health problems that we're seeing with social media use, a lot of them arise in, again, the comparison. And when you kind of look at it, I think a lot of people are seeing that their friends and their peers and their family are displaying this idea that everything in their life is so perfect.
Yeah.
And when you kind of analyze your own life, you're okay, well, wait, mine's not perfect. I got this going wrong. I got this going wrong. But I'm going to post something that's going really well for me so you can reassure me that I'm enough.
No doubt.
And I think, you know, like you say, comparison's the thief of joy. And the image of happiness and popularity and status that you're trying to display really only just digs you into a deeper hole, because when you get off the phone, you get off the computer, you're hit back in the face with reality. That's, you know, that's a hard fall for sure.
Absolutely. And I joke around sometimes when you guys take pictures, you know, you know, I can even look good in social media pics, you know, I can distort reality. I can give myself a couple more inches. I can take off a few inches.
And, mm-hmm.
But in the darkness of the night, when I'm looking at myself in the mirror, you know, that's my reality.
Yeah.
And if there's a disparity between what I'm projecting in a very public manner and what is reality, its impact is incredibly, profoundly desperate, you know, and hollow. Liam, Dylan, you know, one of my favorite expressions is the disease of me, you know, and I think like today, and adults are in this challenge too, it's, you know, we all suffer in today's day and age from the disease of me, like, and I think that's a byproduct of a lot of things, but predominantly of social media. I think my problems are bigger than your problems, and my accomplishments are bigger than your accomplishments. And, you know, and I think we get this distorted view of reality because, you know, I'm living and dying with how many retweets, how many likes, how many comments. You know, it's feeding this black hole when it happens. But when I don't get enough of them, I become really fragile and despondent. But I just think by the nature of being faith-filled, you become other-centered and not self-centered. And nobody lived a life of other-centeredness more than Christ. You know, how does volunteering or being other-centered help you in your faith journey?
I mean, it's definitely something that's not easy, you know,
yeah.
Especially as an athlete. You know, your main objective is to train yourself and
obviously no doubt. Worry about yourself. I tell you that all the time, yeah.
You know, hone your craft and your individual craft and do what you can, you know, help lead to the success of the team. But I often find that when I'm focused on myself the most is when I'm, you know, probably performing to the bottom or the not as good as I can be, right?
Sure.
I feel like I just, the more I focus kind of on the bigger picture, you know, why I'm there and not really the little, you know, minute details that don't really matter.
Sure.
That makes a substantial difference for me. Yeah.
I think God's in his divine providence. I say, I taught a class a couple weeks ago about like the wonder drug. It was a book written by these two medical doctors, and they talk about like in America we all want the instantaneous fix. We want the pill that you know cures us, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody likes leaving the doctor without getting medicine, right? And, you know, I say, you know, every year I get my physical and I say to the doctor, he says, Joe, you got to drop about 60 pounds. I said, I know. And I said, can't you just give me a pill, you know, that helps me drop that weight? And he says, no, but if you eat less and exercise more, the weight will come off. But I'm like, damn, I want the quick fix.
Yeah.
And in God's divine providence, the irony is that when we're other-centered – our happiness goes up. You know, the chemicals, the endorphins, the serotonin, the oxytocin, the physiologically, the chemicals that are released in us make us more happy mm-hmm. when we're other-centered. And when we don't, when we take the center, the attention off ourselves. And I think it's amazing that God wired us to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing, Dylan, I would ask is that I believe the greatest gift of being other-centered is gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you, in my opinion, when you focus on somebody else, particularly maybe someone that's on the margin, you know, whether it's, you know, people that are in a homeless shelter or helping, you know, Special Olympic athletes, or, you know, when you focus on helping people, bringing along people with you on the journey, you become more grateful because all of a sudden your problems don't matter yeah. quite as much. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, I mean, we talk about all the time, you know, like college football is hard, and I mean, that's just a fact, but you know, there's a lot of times over these past couple of years where internally I would just find myself complaining about something. And then, you know, when you kind of put it into perspective and you realize that you're living somebody's dream right mm. now, like that's just like, it's crazy, crazy impactful for you. And it kind of allows you to quiet that little voice in your head that tells you that whatever you're going through, it sucks. But, I mean, you know, like you look at the kid – The Michi kid from Michigan who was he was just passed away from
part
cancer
of the team.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just kind of like, you know, I watched that video and I was like, who am I to be, you know, complaining that I got to get up early in the morning and go run and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as servicing others, like you said, from like a physiological level, it's remarkable that's how we're wired, you know, and that your body is wired to kind of get that dopamine release. And again, like we touched on, like a lot of us are trying to find ways to take the easy way out, and you know, social media is kind of like that pill.
Yep.
You know, it's that instant gratification of the temporary dopamine release, but I think a lot of people fail to realize that, you know, doing something like providing a service to others and, you know, being there for other people, volunteering, all that stuff, you know, that, like you said, it releases the same chemicals and you actually feel way more accomplished and way more grateful because you actually put time and effort into going out of your way to, you know, help another person in need. And that's, like you said, that's exactly what we're wired for. So I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be some grand event of going to a soup kitchen or working at a Special Olympics event. It could be just random acts of kindness, like in the day-to-day, helping somebody out or doing a check-in with somebody that looks, you know, kind of like they have a sadness about them. You know, I think that's really important. Liam, I know, you know, one of your greatest experiences at Delaware was the friendship that you have with your dear friend Matt and what you've been able to, you know, provide one another over the last couple of years. I know you don't like talking about that because it diminishes that relationship, but talk about how you and Matt, you know, became friends and what his influence is, how he's impacted your life in such a positive way, like I know he has.
Yeah, so I met Matt, you know, in a practicum class, teaching, you know, trying to teach kids with special needs how to do certain activities and perform certain sports and gym class and stuff like that. So fortunately, I was paired up with Matt on the first day of class just by chance. You know, our relationship, you know, quickly grew, and you know, he's definitely an extroverted kid. Once you get to know him a little bit, he's got shooting the basketball around with him a little bit. Got to know him a little bit. Next thing you know, we're best friends. You know, got each other on Snapchat, got his number. So yeah, it kind of came into a weekly thing. We would just look forward to see each other every week, and it got to a point where, you know, I met his parents, attended his high school graduation party, rather. Yeah, he's had such a profound impact in my life, man. I still FaceTime probably once a week just to catch up with him and see how he's doing. But he's just one of those kids who's really never had a bad day, man. He's the same dude every single day. And you could just tell, even when he was at our game, you could just tell how grateful he is to just be there.
Absolutely.
And just
what
see
an amazing kid. And seeing you have that kind of relationship just warms my heart. And to Dylan's point earlier, man, we, you know, and trust me, having done it for 30 years, you live and die with the results in those games. But in the grand scheme of it, none of that crap matters. It's all about it's about the relationships. I was talking to somebody recently that I had coached with, and all these years later, you know, you don't really remember games, but you remember the relationships, you know, and you'll find over time that that will be the true gem that you'll have unlocked, you know, being college football players at Delaware for the last 4 and 5 years. You know, I think we talk about this all the time because there's some things that we struggle with in the faith, you know, but the gift of God's grace is that we're able to kind of stand firm in our walk and just offer up those lack of, I don't want to call misunderstandings, but lack of understandings to Christ and have him carry it. But it's not like, you know, I think some people think, you know, it's like a genie in a bottle where it's like magic. You know, it's not like, you know, God never promises, you know, smooth roads or no problems. There's so many things that we wrestle with, some big ticket things and some not so big ticket things. Dylan, how are you able to, in your journey, to stay the course and keep fighting the fight, even amidst some doubt that you might have?
I think the biggest thing for me, I don't remember exactly what verse it is, but, you know, personally, whenever I kind of find myself going through something, whether it's questioning my faith or something that I'm feeling is out of my control, I just remember that, you know, he says, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And I think that's kind of helped me find a lot of peace on my own journey, in that he's not calling us to have all the answers. He's just calling us, you know, it's probably better said like this, you know, he's not asking us to figure it all out. He's asking us to trust that he already has. And I think that's super impactful, and that's kind of helped me through, you know, a lot of my personal struggles, and, you know, periods of doubt within the faith. It's, you know, the notion of letting go. And I think that kind of gets overlooked sometimes in the faith where, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in the praying to God and talking at God rather than talking with God. And I think a lot of the understanding comes when you kind of just take a step back and you just listen rather than kind of, you know, barking demands at God of, you know, why are you doing this? Why is this happening to me rather than for me? And I think if you kind of just take a step back and, you know, let God do what God does, it'll increase your experience in the faith drastically.
Amen to that. I was probably 50 years old when I finally started to listen to God instead of talking to him.
Yeah.
And that contemplative prayer has really transformed my prayer life, because you can't listen and talk at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was always barking, you know, hey God, I remember this and I need this and I need this. And then one of the things I love about working at LaSalle is every day I try and just start out in the chapel. You know, I have my, you know, my coffee. I don't think that's irreverent, but I'm in there with my coffee and my Bible and my prayer book. And I just kind of spend 10 minutes in prayer, another 15 minutes just kind of in silent prayer, just asking God to speak to me and guide me and assist me in what he wants of me that day. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back here with Dylan and Liam Traynor right after these messages.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Traynor, along with Liam and Dylan Traynor, student athletes at the University of Delaware, coming off a great season where they won 8 games and advanced to the second round of the playoffs. A proud papa I am. Want to give a shout out to the three beautiful women at 601 Bridal who I know are listening. Love you, Mo. Carol, it's going to be a sad day when you leave us. Kiki, I can't be more proud of you either. So I just want to get back. I just got done reading Holy Moments from Matt by Matthew Kelly. I mean, he's written some great books. I know Kira's a huge fan of Matthew Kelly. She reads a lot about him and up at Lansdowne Catholic. But he wrote this book, Holy Moments, that was amazing. It's only about 115, 120 pages, but it's incredible. And he talks about, you know, we're so in corporate America and education, we're so caught up in IQ, you know, your intelligence quotient, and now, you know, 10 years ago, EQ came up, you know, and then it was your emotional IQ, have your ability to, like, you know, your ability to identify your emotions and show empathy and concern for other people and their emotions. But he challenges us, which I thought was awesome, to humanity would be better served if we had what he calls a spiritual quotient, an SQ. So I thought it was pretty cool. I'm going to read this for a second. Experts agree that emotional intelligence is disappearing from our culture at an alarming rate. It's become clear that EQ is a better predictor of success than IQ, both personally and professionally. These are important discoveries, but when will we begin the epic conversation that our culture so desperately needs around spiritual intelligence? Spirituality provides the tools necessary to develop empathy, temperament, impulse control, sustainable relationships, social responsibility, authentic leadership, and problem-solving skills. The future of the world quite literally depends on humanity accessing its spiritual intelligence. But the abolition of God, religion, and spirituality from modern secular culture and the prioritization of knowledge over wisdom has left us in a place of desperate spiritual poverty. Liam, I know much as you love Delaware and you've had a great experience there academically, athletically, socially, you know, we have a lot of conversations about how God has been removed from academia. You know, how are you able to maintain your convictions? And I love the term, and I'm going to give him credit for it, but when Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, he gave a commencement speech a number of years back at Christendom College where he called it unapologetically Catholic. Mm. And when I think of our family and kind of our mantra as a family, I think of that, you know, that term, unapologetically Catholic. So I hope he said it because I'm giving him credit for it. But how are you able to maintain your convictions on a college campus, and Delaware is no different than every other college campus in America, where it's just it not only doesn't embrace faith, but it denounces it.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt that it is hard sometimes, especially within, you know, the premises of a college campus. But one thing, you know, it's different for everyone. The one thing that really helps me is my peers. Obviously, like I said, we have, you know, a core group of guys on the team that are strong on their faith, and that number was growing every week, which was awesome to see. But, you know, just having those guys around, those core group of guys, that kind of help you, helps you stay accountable to in your faith as well, and not only just keep you reminded and stuff like that, was something that really helped me. Again, it's different for everyone. You know, something that also helps me a lot is worship music. Sometimes when I'm just not in the right headspace or don't really have the words even to find a prayer, I think, you know, the Hillsong, all those bands are great.
Absolutely.
For me to try to, you know, stay in the realm and stay connected even when I can't really find the words.
Absolutely. Great. It brings up a great point, right? When we're dry and we're arid, you know, when we're not at a good, and again, I, you know, whether it's young people at LaSalle or wherever, like, it's a misconception that, like, you know, you're going to be on cloud nine every day and, you know, praising God at every turn. It's like every relationship, there's an ebb and a flow to it.
Mm-hmm.
And some days you feel like you're at the foot of the cross and you're so dialed in. And then there's other days where you feel like you're lost in the desert and you can't see, you know, anything. And again, I think the beauty of the greatest gift or the greatest parallel with my faith journey and sports is this. Like, there's days when you're running and you feel like you got a refrigerator on your back, but you run nonetheless.
Yep.
You know, and there's days when you feel like, you know, you're running on air and you are flying. Yep. And you run nonetheless, you know, and you don't let the emotion dictate the effort. You don't let the quality of the workout tell you, you know, dictate the effort. And it's like that with your faith journey too. I mean, there's times when, you know, you come out of Mass or you come out of, you know, to Liam's point where, you know, you just may not be at a good spot, but you stay after it and you keep your eye on the prize and you keep the practice and the repetition and the routine of the journey in place. What are your thoughts, Dylan?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think you hit it right on the head there. It's, you know, like Liam said, there's days where it's definitely difficult, especially on a college campus, you know, to kind of find that drive of, you know, staying the course. And I think a lot of it comes back to the idea that when you believe in your heart and your soul that what you believe in and what you're trying to spread is the truth, it kind of just makes it that much harder for, you know, the devil and distractions to kind of seep their way into your life. I think the biggest thing for me has been, you know, just reaffirming myself in my beliefs has been huge. And I find that when I do that and I genuinely believe that, you know, the message of the gospel is wholeheartedly the truth, I think it kind of just makes day-to-day life that much easier because you come a lot less concerned with opinions of other people, and distractions as a whole. And I think that's huge. And, you know, like you said, there's ups and downs with every single day, but I think, you know, like you said, you run nonetheless, and you just kind of, you keep fighting the good fight. And kind of like we talked about earlier, just the notion of trusting that God has everything figured out, you know, and just take a step back and kind of evaluate what he's done in your life. I think that's critical.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of Kira and Carol coming off of their Kairos journey this past weekend, and Kira serving as a leader up at their 4-day retreat up at the Shrine of Częstochowa where we do our men's group. But, you know, and just seeing Kira come back, you know, with a renewed sense of conviction and like you two, her ability to bring people closer to Christ is probably my greatest sense of accomplishment as a parent. I know Mo and I feel the same way with that, but like when you see your children bringing people closer to Christ, which is what you three have done, it's truly amazing. I want to get back to social media for a second because the irony is a vehicle or a modem that was supposed to connect, that make us more connected, right, with people that you can't see, is really kind of put us in isolation, right? And I say all the time, and that's why I was kind of glad to see you guys playing today Call of Duty. Was it Call of Duty? What were we playing?
Yeah, we were playing Call of Duty.
But I always say to young people, hey, snapping, you know, sending Snapchat pictures to a cute girl or a cute boy, it's not the same as going on a date with somebody.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And, like, playing Call of Duty with some dude from five states away is not the same as doing it live.
Yeah.
The connectivity that, you know, we're meant to be, you know, we're a relational being, right? We're the highest animal in the kingdom, right? We're the, you know, we're here because our ancestors, our tribes bound together to fight off enemies.
Yeah.
And to, you know, whether the enemy was in the form of animals or armies of opposition, but we it's the human connection, I think, that is lost in all the social media. So, but when I came in and you guys were, you know, sounded like Liam was kicking your butt in the game, but when I came in and you guys were getting after each other, I love that. It brought a huge smile to my face. I want to talk about. I'm going to reflect on yesterday's gospel reading because it was, you know, we don't hear a ton from Joseph. We hear nothing from Joseph because as we were talking on the drive down, he's, you know, what truly one of the central figures in all of Christianity, but, you know, never quoted,
yeah.
You know, and I think in the last, what was it, 2 years ago when we had the year of St. Joseph, I started to read about him and gained a much greater appreciation for him and his role. And he was a doer, right? He didn't really, he obviously said nothing, you know, we know he said things, but nothing was documented in the Bible. I shouldn't say that he said yes. Right. I mean, I think his Mary said yes, which was the ultimate, but a close second, I think, was his yes, because had he not said yes, and in a time when women would, you know, unwed marriages, that equated to adultery.
Yep.
You know, just like, you know, an unfaithful spouse was committing adultery. But so had he said no, you know, it's amazing what the chances are, what would have happened. But I'm going to take a minute and read Matthew 1, verses 18 to 27, the birth of Jesus. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. Wow, that's like drop the mic right there, dude, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, you know, you're thinking about it. I mean, Mary was a young teenager, right? We know that much. And he, assuming he's, you know, within, you know, that age group too, you know, and, you know, certainly, I don't know, like at the max probably would have been low 20s. But, you know, you're sitting here and, you know, we know Mary, you know, was conceived without sin, but he was probably had the same, you know, sinful nature that we had, right? Yeah. And it's hard to even put your, you know, my head around something like that, you know, and saying, you know, like, how you kind of, you know, wrestled with that in your head, you know, when you get a, you know, you get a, God speaks to you through an angel and telling you that, you know, in the history of the world, this is going to be the first time like something like that, you know, has ever happened and hasn't since. But, you know, I think the one thing when I read that, and again, we talked about silent prayer, contemplative prayer. It's funny, like here I am 54 years into my journey and there's still a newness that I'm really kind of, that's taken my faith to a new level, even in the last, you know, 3 to 4 years. But, you know, when I think, I never gave him much thought. And here I'm like, has there been a greater act of trust in the history of humanity than that? Obviously, it's second to her trusting that she, you know, as she said, when the angel appeared to her first, she said, I'm a handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your will. But, man, the trust that he had in God to just move on from that, it was just amazing. No,
absolutely. As I think, I mean, like you said, he's kind of the unsung hero of the whole thing. I think, you know, one thing that we take away from men's group especially is just the importance of male role models. And, you know, I think that obviously being that Jesus is the Son of God, I think Joseph still played a pivotal role in Jesus' life, even though we don't hear much about it. I think it's something, like you said, like we could all kind of take a piece from, is the notion of just kind of, you know, being the unsung hero in a sense. I think that a lot of people, you know, myself included, we can tend to view Christianity as this, you know, this whole, this perfect ideology where, you know, Christ gets all the glory, rightfully so. But I think a lot of the, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the gritty side of things.
The other players that were there.
100%. And I think, you know, it was, I don't want to say a messy journey by any means, but there was, you know, definitely periods of hardship, like we just talked about, you know, with Jesus' parents. And, you know, I think, not that it gets overlooked, but it's something that the more you kind of look into it, the more, you know, I personally have kind of, I don't want to say wrestled with it, but have just kind of been in awe of it.
Absolutely.
You know, I think, because as a man, that's obviously Jesus is who we're all trying to model our lives after, but I think that, you know, we could take a ton away from Joseph too, in that, you know, you're not always going to, you know, you're not going to get any of the glory, you're not going to kind of get quoted or anything like that, but, you know, following God's commands for you and his plans for you, at the end of the day, that's kind of, that's rule number one.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, to me too, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, trying to walk in his shoes, you're like, okay, I'm bringing the, you know, I'm part of bringing the Savior of the world and the, you know, in the history of humanity, the Savior into the world, and I'm thinking to him, you know, is he thinking, well, are we going to be, is she going to be bored, is she going to bear this child in Rome, you know, the capital, or, you know, and then it turns out, like, you know, here we are, like, you know, we're going to go to, like, a, you know, a satellite place over in Jerusalem,
stable.
Yeah, and in a stable, you know, and it's like there was nothing. There was no luster about any of that.
No glamour.
You know, now we know, you know, why it had to be like that. But I wonder what Joseph might have been thinking. But, man, the trust, it's certainly easy to, you know, you've had your, you know, you're coming off of your third, you know, your third shoulder surgery, Liam, and you had the sports hernia last year. And, you know, trusting, you know, in God's divine plan for all of us, it's not always easy, you know, and yet we stay the course, you know.
Wow.
Trust is such a big part of the process, you know. It's just, you know, you can't, when you try and figure it out on your own, you'll screw it up even more.
Mm.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to go to Brian's house on Saturday night. You guys came. It was a great affair. But when I see that, I think, we've all been critical, I would say, of you know, certainly college environments where, you know, we feel like the male role has been emasculated or brought closer to the center. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart when I see people that want to bring both sexes closer to the middle, because the complementary nature of both of us.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's part, you know, that was not by chance. It was God's divine plan that we were going to be so different, and yet together we were going to produce the family.
Yeah.
You know, of both males and females. And, you know, I love the fact that, you know, that my sons can go to their mother for certain things, you know, that I can't, I'm not, that aren't in my skill set. And that my daughter can go to me, Kira can come to me, that, you know, that may not be in mom's skill set. But it breaks my heart when I see, you know, especially in places like education, where it's more like, you know, we're trying to emasculate the males and we're trying to paternalize the females. We're trying to play God in doing so. What are your thoughts with that, Liam?
I agree 100%. You know, it's kind of scary to see, yeah, you know, how frequently this is happening in America, you know, especially with the social media. Obviously, it's very, you know,
prevalent.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's so easy to see everything at the blink of an eye nowadays. And just to see how it's being just the choice of your gender is just being indoctrinated in kids, you know, all across the country from such a disgustingly young age before they even go to the bathroom by themselves, and they're prescribing these drugs to these children. It's becoming a much bigger problem than it ever has in the past, I'd say, within these past couple years in America. You know, it's always been a problem, I feel like, but I feel as the more you take God out of the problem, the bigger of a problem it's going to be for humanity. You know that. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
that's the great irony of it all, too.
Let's look at society today. I mean, you take God out of society, it's just going to keep getting worse. You're
absolutely
not going to plateau. You're not going to get
no
better.
Doubt.
You know what I mean? The family's degenerating. Like, everything. When you see it start to crumble before your eyes, you're going to realize that there's no better outcome to search for than God, because that's your only way out.
Absolutely.
Safely, so.
What's the saying I'd say to you guys all the time? I never knew God was all I needed until God was all I had.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like every great answer there, by the way, but I feel like that's like kind of like every day I feel like that's becoming more and more true. And I think it was Mother Teresa that said, you know, it always comes back to pro-life, because it's in life where we can try and say what lives and what dies.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't gotten that right as a society, then we can play God in everything else. You know, under the premise of all Catholic thought is God makes no mistakes.
Yeah.
And when we have the technology to say what lives and what dies, we're playing God. And because we haven't gotten that right, it's just everything else. Nothing surprises me after that. You know, it's just now we're trying, you know, we 10 years ago you could say, okay, I want this eye coloring and I want this. We can now, like, we're doing things in labs, you know, and mm-hmm. We're cloning. We can do things like that. Like, so now, but it all stems from our ability to say what lives, you know, and what dies, you know. But just getting back to that party the other night at Brian's, it was a great time, great food. Obviously, you guys were there for a while, but just so many great guys involved in that organization, man. It's amazing. And there's so many different guys. It's like, you know, you have, you know, everybody, you know, I would distill a line from you guys. Everybody's a dog, but, like, there's different types of dogs there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have guys that, you know, are, you know, first of all, it's the diversity and lived experiences, right? You have you know, 80 years old down to 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You have rich, poor, city, suburban, married, single, divorced. But it's just, it's amazing that, you know, to get back to Liam's point, when you can share your faith under the common theme of discipleship, and we're all, no matter where we are in life, there's a place for all of us at the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest thing, I think, for me when I go there every week. You know, I'm at a certain point in my journey, hopefully miles to go, but, you know, you don't, it's not like algebra class or physics class where you all have had to have pre-testing going in and, you know, we're all at the same level.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that are crazy, you know, well-versed in the Bible, and there's people, some of us, that aren't well-versed in the Bible. But all the while, there's a sense that everybody's trying to be better, to do better, to be better husbands, better fathers, better, you know, leaders in society. And it was cool that, you know, that our wives, that are the women in our life, had a chance to be a part of that and to kind of see, to see that up close, and to do it in a celebratory way was pretty awesome. And then get a chance to see Brian's pool room was pretty nice too. So, looking forward to spending next couple weeks with you guys, you know, on Christmas break, on our holiday, and spending the last couple weeks with K-Roll before she goes back to Brazil. Just want to get your final thoughts, and legitimately, we got about a minute and a half. What are the Eagles' chances? Trying to be objectively, Dylan, what would you say?
I think we got a good shot. Hopefully, Jalen Hurts can stay healthy. Hopefully, he gets back and can play this weekend. But I like our odds right now. Sitting here at 13-1, hasn't been done since. Have had 13 wins since 2004. Made a Super Bowl run that year, so we'll see what happens. But I like our odds right now.
Okay, now in the immediate future, we got the Cowboys on Saturday, Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about that matchup?
I feel great about it. I feel great. I don't think Dak's playing too hot right now. I think his confidence is down a little bit, and I think, you know, the birds are gonna pounce on him and secure the dub.
All right, and then one final question, Liam. I got to throw it to you. Don't think with your heart. Don't think with your heart. Think with your head. North Dakota State, South Dakota State for the FCS championship. Who do you got?
I'm going to have to go South Dakota State. You know, they're pretty much the same team, just on different sides of the board. But, yeah, I'm going to have to go South Dakota State for that one. Right. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think I actually think they're going to. I haven't seen both of them. I've seen one live at the game, but I got South Dakota State also. So, folks, thank you for spending time with us over this hour. Thank the boys. You guys were amazing as always. I continue to get inspired by your faith journey and know that you're teaching me as much as I'm teaching you. I can promise you that.
Likewise.
And then to all of our listeners out there, we wish you the healthiest and merriest of Christmases and a happy new year. We will not be with you again until the Monday, 8 days after the new year, which would be July 9th, Monday, July 9th. So we will not be together live for the next 2 weeks. So we wish you well. God bless. Take care.